from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of July, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the CME Group has a plan of action to fix convergence of the soft red winter wheat contracts. And the state of Illinois has decided to scrap CFAR funds in its new budget. Those are dollars dedicated to ag and food research. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with details of these and other stories. And then I'll fill you in on some of the details of how USDA will go about updating corn and soybean acreage figures in the August 12th crop production report. Don't forget, at the bottom of this hour, in about 26 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens right here on a Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $5.11.5 for the soft red, 4.75 lower. December at $5.39, down 4.75, and the March contract at $5.57.25, 5.25 lower. September corn futures gained 0.25 to finish at 3.20.75, but the rest of the pit was lower. December contract at 3.28. Down 1.75, March corn at 3.40.5, down 2.25, and the May contract at 3.50.25, down 2 cents. July futures at 3.58.75, 2 lower. August soybean futures up 3 cents at $10.57.5. September 4 lower at 9.64. November 9.16, down 11. And January at $9.19.75, 11.25 lower. March soybean futures 9.21. Down 11 cents. August soybean meal up $6.66, actually $6.60 at $338.50. August soybean oil at $33.07, 75 cents lower on the afternoon. August live cattle from the CME Group, 97.5 cents lower at $83.95. August feeders at 102.25 cents, down 82.5 cents. And the August lean hog futures at $56.75 settled a dime lower today. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures finished the September contract at $63.35 a barrel, down $3.88. August ethanol at $1.59.3, 1.7 lower. Natural gas lead option 13.9 lower at $3.39.6. And the RBOB at $1.84.2, down 6.8. August heating oil, that's diesel fuel, 0.1 cents lower at $1.66.3. And the propane futures at 80.6 cents, down 1.3 cents. Gold contract finished the July, or actually still trading. Well, they settled up at 927.20, down $11.80 on their final trade for the day. And the Dow at 9,030 is just about 67 points lower now. The U.S. dollar at 79.62, up 0.77. And the CRB index this afternoon is currently down 8.67 at 243.24. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. In the far south, should be cloudy tonight. Some lingering showers in central Indiana. Cloudy, a chance of evening showers. Elsewhere, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 54 in the north to 65 in the far south, says our own Mike Sola. And then tomorrow, Mike says, mostly cloudy skies across Illinois and Indiana. Scattered showers, some thunderstorms. They'll be heaviest in the south. Highs tomorrow from 74 in northwestern Illinois to 83 in the deep southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says another round of precip will move through Illinois and Indiana by Friday morning. Amounts are generally expected to range between under 0.25 inch in west central Illinois to as much as 2 inches in the far south. More scattered showers expected over the weekend, with light rain expected in most areas. A complete look at the ag weather at the bottom of this hour when we talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We're joined by Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is a beautiful day here in our part of the world. The crop, I think, is doing pretty well, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely some areas that the crop conditions indicate that the crop is getting smaller, and of course that's in the upper Midwest, the Minnesota, Wisconsin, Minnesota area, and Michigan, there is some dryness there, so people are complaining about that.
Yeah, in some of those areas. And then I suppose you've been watching some of the weather forecast and some of the historical weather perspective that's been coming out as well, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, definitely we're even getting, you know, some of these satellite pictures in and showing which states are the deep green and which states have some vegetative problems. As a general rule, you know, gee whiz, we're close to August. One farmer said to me that, you know, April planted corn and it still hasn't tasseled and pollinated yet. Hey, we're behind. And, of course, we got about four or five phone calls from people saying that. And as a result of that, but the crop does look good. And if the corn has tasseled and pollinated, the row count seems to be tremendous, and the ear size is also a precursor of good yields.
Well, if you look out across there, and I think most people are thinking that the precursor of good yield is there at this point, the question really becomes then is December corn at 328 or 320, 310, whatever it might be dropping down to. Is that low enough, you think?
Good question. You know, one point that we want to mention, it was brought up to one of my customers talking to a major grain company over the weekend, saying that, you know, most of the corn that was hauled in on free DP has already moved into the marketplace, either the feed or the ethanol or export market. And so the second harvest, even though the USDA says we have this enormous carryover of somewhere in that 1.6 to 1.8 billion bushel carryover number, a lot of that corn's already been moved down the road, so to speak. And so the second harvest, I don't think, is going to impact the market quite as much. And that's one reason why we're starting to see the September market come back. We know that this is a very cheap commodity. It's so cheap that the U.S. corn's basically pricing other corn, making it unprofitable in the world market. We are starting to see, the stock reports from Valero. Their new ethanol plants are making money the old-fashioned way, buying corn, processing into ethanol, and selling it into their gasoline mix. So that's good news in such a short period of time. The second, you know, the last factor here that we want to talk about is just how cheap corn can get, and it is extremely cheap, and a lot of it depends on the acreage and growing conditions from here on out, and that's what makes these trading ranges so interesting and so wild in the last, several weeks.
Well, have you thought much about what it might be like if we have a normal August and what a good trading range for old and new crop corn might be?
Yeah. You know, one thing that I will say this is the strategies of the biggest strategy and the one that's going to make the people the most money is what happens if my private meteorologist is going to come up in the last week of the last day of August and saying he sees some cold weather in the month of in the first week or so of September. And, you know, one trade that we kind of like is just actually going in and buying September corn and buying a September put in case it doesn't work very well. You know, you have a tremendous amount of upside potential in there. And so I think we're going to see all kinds of new, strategies coming out of commodity traders to play that frost game in the marketplace. I think the other thing, Todd, is there does get a time when, gee whiz, by being short corn for, let's say, 20 cents or 30 cents, is it really worth the risk? And, of course, that's the big question. We've even picked up from some of our friends in Iowa that have a big carryover of DP corn. There's even strategies out there where people are just going to pay the new price minimum and go on and carry it into next year. So the big factor is at some point in time something will happen. It doesn't look like it's going to happen on July 29th or July 30th.
That's probably right. How about on...
And I, for one, have recommended moving that old crop corn down the road and also old crop beans.
Right. Well, go ahead and talk more about that. Maybe we can talk about August 12th as well.
Yeah, August 12th is a big unknown. I still think the government is a bad a job as they fumble the football all around the playing field on the acreage. I do think they wouldn't have come out with an acreage update unless it was a million acres or larger. So that's going to be an interesting game they're going to play. And I think the bean situation is also going to be extremely interesting because there is such a tremendous acreage in the Midwest with such a short, the beans are so short and planted so late. But I think it's really going to hustle the old soybean plant to have a national average over 42.
Any fun strategies with soybeans like you had with corn?
Well, I think the big thing in the soybean market is you don't really want to get caught selling beans in the hole here because of this tremendous demand from China. But I will say this, that it is interesting to see how the CFTC is going to change some of the rules in crude oil, energy, probably wheat,
right.
And as that is going to narrow some of the speculation, but it's almost unheard of, you know, these $10 trading ranges we're seeing in crude oil, maybe four or five times already since the first of the year, and so, you know, that is really a big dynamic move in crude oil.
Okay. Any final word from you before I let
you
go?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You are listening to Illinois Public Media, and it is from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. If you'd like to hear what Paul had to say again, you can always do that on our website at willag.org. It's willag.org. If you can't get there and can't hear us on the radio, on time to time, that is, why don't you try our telephone system? It's just an answering machine, but it works quite well. 217-333-3434. We update it with some numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
Agricultural news, the CME Group under fire from traders and regulators to fix its wheat futures market is looking at more changes in storage as well as the idea of a new cash-settled index. CME Chief Economist David Lehman says, quote, "The dynamic storage rate concept is what we are going to vet in more detail over the next 30 to 45 days with the industry. That would be probably our preference for a next step if one is needed." Last week, Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chairman Gary Gensler said if the lack of convergence seen in the Chicago Board of Trade July contract continues, CFTC will consider further actions as necessary. Research funding for the Illinois Council on Food and Agricultural Research has been eliminated in the state of Illinois' fiscal year 2010 budget. The elimination of the CFAR appropriation leaves Illinois with no dedicated appropriation for a comprehensive food and agricultural research program. CFAR officials say that unless funding is restored, critical ongoing research will cease, current research programs will be in disarray, and CFAR will close. Illinois already invests less in food and agricultural research than every other Midwestern state, ranking 24th overall in the U.S. USDA is getting ready to roll out a new biomass program that will pay up to $45 a ton in matching payments for delivering eligible biomass to businesses that convert the biomass into renewable fuel, energy, or bioproducts. Officials are expected to announce to the public as early as this week. Details on the biomass crop assistance program and collection, harvest, storage, and transportation matching payment program known as BCAP and CHST. The Illinois meat sector yesterday urged Congress to lift a ban that effectively prevents Chinese poultry imports in order to avoid retaliation on their own exports to China. China has launched a World Trade Organization complaint about the ban, and trade groups say China recently stopped issuing import permits for U.S. chicken in retaliation, threatening the largest market for U.S. poultry, worth almost $700 million per year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can hear online at willag.org. While you're there, sign up for our weekend newsletter, download our podcast, and if you'd really like, you can find the phone number that you can listen to some of our programming as well. It's 217-333-3434. Lots of ways to get the programming from Illinois Public Media. Now, up next, you know USDA has decided it needs a better handle on the number of corn acres in the nation. I'll have a report on the agency's statistic division and how it will update those corn and soybean numbers in the month of August.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, will update corn acreage in the August 12 crop production report. The director of the Statistics Division, Joe Persaki, says the update's needed in seven states where corn planting was way behind schedule this spring. The June 30 acreage report included estimates of the 2009 planted area for principal crops based on data collected from producers in early June. To ensure that the August forecast accurately reflect any changes in planted acreage since then, NAS will expand its routine data collection activities in late July and early August. The agency will ask growers to update their reported acres planted to corn in seven states: Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, North Dakota, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Growers in Illinois and Missouri will also be asked to update their reported acres planted to sorghum. Now, the crop production report will be released at 8:30 Eastern Time on Wednesday, the 12th of August. It'll be available online at nas.usda.gov. Prusaki says the August report will survey about 25,000 growers. That's well below the more than 70,000 surveyed in June. And while this seems like a much smaller sample, Prusaki says it really isn't. The June survey was designed to capture data on all sorts of crops, including things like hay. The August report and the updated acreage numbers will be targeted to specific commodities, corn and soybeans. On that point, the August crop production report always includes an updated survey of soybean acreage. It is also the first time objective yield counts are done. Because the objective yield study fields are identified in the June report, those surveys will catch possible acreage switches, for instance, from corn to soybeans, too. Finally, Joe Persaki says the government has already been using infrared satellite technology to measure planted area. Additional flyovers are scheduled for early August. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the cash grain market this afternoon is not Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons, but rather Scott Butcher in his stead. Good afternoon to you, Scott. Thanks for being with us today.
No problem, Todd.
Well, talk to me about your area to begin with and what the crops look like.
Things look very good in our area. I don't know, how far behind we are on normal schedule, maybe a week or two in most places. But for where we've been and all the conditions that we've had to go through, I'd say things look really good.
It is amazing how good the corn really looks. On that note, have the soybeans caught up in your area yet?
They have. It looks like what could be a really good bean year in our area.
And then how is basis holding up in the face of these lower prices?
Really, we haven't seen a lot of basis activity lately. Corn basis continues to stay strong, but really has not moved up much, maybe 2 or 3 cents in most places. Bean basis continues to be weak as the processor, really is just trying to get by with what they have in their inventory and, not really seeking a lot of new beans.
And on that note, and what you've been doing with farmers, have they been willing to move some corn and enticed by free DP? I don't know whether you've been doing that or not, but I know other elevators have.
Yeah, we have, tried to do a little bit of DP as well as, trying to get guys convinced that, a basis contract might not be a bad thing either, just to get by for, to get the corn out of your bin and, worry about pricing later.
What is the advantage to an elevator to do that?
Well, for an elevator, it's, simply ownership, getting the ownership in our elevator. And, the more volume you do, the better off you are.
And so it's a matter of having the grain there. I suppose there are many that would be skeptical of thinking that this is the bottom area and that you'd like to have it and sell it at a higher price. But you work off basis more than anything else.
Yes, exactly. We are basis traders.
All right. So tell me about cash bids in your area, please.
Cash corn right now, we are 341. Cash beans, 1001.
And if you look out over the next, 3 to 4 weeks, how do you see the prices in Chicago playing out? Will they struggle? Will they find the bottom, in your opinion? Is there room for an upside move?
Yeah, it feels like they are going to continue to struggle as the outside markets really don't provide much direction. We are going to just kind of languish here for the next month or so.
Scott, we appreciate you being with us.
No problem.
That's Scott Butcher. He's with the Andersons in their Delphi, Indiana facility. It's called Climbers. And we appreciate he and Matt Blaisdell from there filling in for us each and every Wednesday to take a look at the cash grain market. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be with us. Drew has some discussion points today on 1965 and on the early 70s as well. I think you'll want to stay with us for that conversation. All coming up in 2 minutes right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's National Lasagna Day. It's also St. Martha's Day, patron saint of butlers, dietitians, cooks, innkeepers, and waitresses. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, Walter Hunt was born. He invented the first safety pin in 1849, which he called a dress pin. The pin was made out of brass wire about 8 inches long, coiled at the center and shielded at one end. He sold the rights to the pin for $400. By the way, Hunt began his inventing in his late teens with a machine to spin flax. In 1870, the first asphalt pavement was laid in the U.S. in Newark, New Jersey. In 1914, Baron Marcel Bic was born. A French inventor, he created the Bic pen in 1949. And in 1973, the Bic lighter. And in 1976, the Bic shaver. In 1977, Buffalo, New York declared this day Chicken Wing Day in honor of the famous Buffalo chicken wings created by Teresa Bellissimo in October of 1964. And in 1984, Fred Waring died. Waring provided financial backing for development of a blender to puree raw vegetables for his ulcer diet. The machine, originally introduced as the Miracle Mixer, debuted in 1937 and sold for $29.75. By 1954, the name had changed to the Waring Blender, and more than 1 million had been sold. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Bright, sunshiny skies outside today and kind of comfortable there. Are we going to consider cool weather temperatures continuing through maybe a portion of the month of August?
Well, it certainly is looking that way. The northwest flow is certainly going to dominate the first 10 days of the month. That's a pretty much given. We'll probably see a little bit of a warm-up temporarily develop around mid-month, and especially in the western portions of the Corn Belt. I'm not real confident that it's going to reach all the way across the Mississippi River and into the eastern Midwest. So it could very well end up being fairly cool most of the month. And that was really our expectation. So this isn't anything that should come as a big surprise. Unfortunately, that means our degree day accumulations will continue rather poor across the upper parts of the Midwest in particular. We're going to have several days here where 60 and 70 degree highs is about all we can expect. And, you know, it is still the end of August here, for crying out loud. Our low temperatures at night will get down into the 40s and some 50s across the upper parts of the Midwest, 50s and lower 60s in the south. And as we move forward in time, we will see a succession of small disturbances passing through the region that will generate some rainfall on a periodic basis. I don't think that the rain intensity is going to be all that great, but the combination of the cool weather and the showers periodically will keep us in pretty good shape moisture-wise for the rest of pollination and reproductive conditions in general for both corn and soybeans. And the only place where I can see any kind of a problem at the moment is maybe in some of the northwestern portions of the region, where we'll probably have a little bit of dryness continuing for a while, even with the showers that will come and go up there. The moisture totals are just not going to be all that great. No serious crop stress there, though, by the way. Just a little bit of drier bias conditions to keep some people concerned.
Have you had a chance to sift through the historical weather data to look for any types of years that might be similar to what we've been working through this season?
Absolutely, I have. Some of the years that come to mind are include 2004 because of the big cold surge that occurred in Canada and North Dakota in mid-August. That seems to be of interest to a lot of folk. And, of course, the record potential, I'm back up here, potential record for yields for some areas in the Midwest, of course, will match that of 2004. The year that I'm most interested in, though, is 1965. That particular year, it was just like this one. It was a year when we went from La Nina to El Nino. It was a year that followed the sunspot minimum. It was a year where PDO went neutral, and there's a bunch of other weather atmospheric phenomena that are exactly the same as they were then. And, by the way, there was concern about a problem with India being dry in 1965, just like it is today. So there's a lot of parallels there, and that is the year that I'd be watching. We did see early frost and freezes occur across the northern plains and the northwestern Corn Belt that year. That doesn't mean it's going to happen this time around, but I certainly wouldn't turn my back right now.
Persistence seems to be the name of the game in the weather as of the last several years, I would think.
That seems to be the case, yes, and we may be in a trend here for a while. I do believe that our shorter growing seasons is something we'll have to get a little bit more accustomed to. That's something we saw a lot of in the 70s and early 80s, well, actually before the 80s, I guess, but mostly 70s. Anyway, that kind of thing will probably happen a little bit more often as we move forward in time here.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.